Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review a wine from France named Chateau Pesqui Terrasses Rouge from Ventoux. Further, can Jeff from wine.com really help you find a great wine? Well, we find that out as well tonight here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It won't just be any other night. Good evening. Glad to be here.
And we're also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening, everyone.
On tonight's show, folks, we no longer have a trio of Pinot. Those are normally just the bloodletting episodes where we are cleaning out the fridge. You do that, folks, I'm sure, at home. You say, tonight I'm going to have rotten mayonnaise. Well, that's the last week was the rotten mayonnaise so week. Hopefully you don't do that. But if you did, it would involve Lindemann's Love Noir and Deloche. That would be what that would be. However, tonight we have a more of a prime cut, something that isn't bad. Matter of fact, a couple people that we respect to a certain degree, as much as we can respect anybody, or that's more me, think it's quite good, actually.
They
think
do?
It's exceptional. So we'll be the judge.
I don't even really know how to act having a good wine on the show. Do you, Scott? Like, I almost feel like we're being punked. Until I taste it, I don't believe it to be true.
Well, that's true. I'm like William sniffing food before that.
But it's not like these points that have been given out are by James Suckling.
Or the decanter.
Or
what is a decanter? Whatever. Take their score, minus 10. Then you
something
got it?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, probably. But on tonight's show, folks, we're going to be in an area that we've been before, but not this particular spot. Let's just say that.
Okay.
And we're going to be in Ventoux, which formerly was known as Côte de Ventoux. But now it's not. Now it's just Ventoux. It's like Prince, you know, as a symbol. It's part of Côte d'Aron, essentially. But it's right next to Provence. It's right there by the movie. So
close, you could taste
a little herb
de Provence.
A little bit higher elevations, too, for these wines. So they may be a little more floral, a little more delicate. Maybe a little more interesting. I don't know. But this wine in particular, is Chateau Pesqui de Les Terres Rouges. Now, it comes in about $13.99. Right now, it's $16.99 because Trump. Probably. I blame him.
The other thing I was going to say is pretty much any wine that we have had lately that is even remotely good is all of a sudden unavailable.
Oh, yes, that's true.
So if you are listening and this wine ends up being good, our apologies that you probably are no longer able to buy it.
That's true. It's like the curse.
Yeah.
But it's before the episode airs, but I'm going to say it's because of the episode. This wine, though, is 54.
Could be the spies listening to.
Could be.
We got hacked.
It's Wine Wars. They hacked us. Bastards. James Suckling, probably. Yes.
Yep.
54% Grenache, 40% Syrah, 4% Cinsault, and 2% Mauvaidre, because that matters.
Mauvaidre always matters.
It always does.
We love Mauvaidre.
Will you tell me the breakdown again? 54% Grenache.
Yes, 40%
Syrah.
Syrah. There we go. 4% Cinsault, add 2% Mauvaidre. Mm-hmm. I think someplace else I saw 60-40, but in reality,
I think it was a different year.
Yes. This has just a little more twinkle from two different grapes tacked on.
So it has been a minute since I've had a Grenache.
Is it?
Yeah. When's the last time I had a Grenache?
Very good question.
I know we're going to go through...
The Cellier.
Okay. Yeah. So I know we're going to go through the winemaker and everything, but let's do a general thing that we should be looking for in this. I mean, it's black in the glass. It's very dark, but what should we be looking for?
Minerality. We should be looking for that.
Particularly the French style.
Yes. Dry, naturally. This one, though, I wouldn't say aromatic, but maybe a little more lithy, you know? Yeah, think of the last Cote du Rhone we had, I think, was a little bit of an oddball, even though it is Cote du Rhone. Is it typical of the region as much? That's the Cellier de whatever the hell it was, Dauphine?
Yeah, Dauphine.
Yeah, it's a little bit of its own beast, but this, I think, is going to be a little more classic. You know, the wine, actually on the back of the label, it says aging potential 10 years. It says that on the back of its label. I've never seen that before. But this, as we talk about it after the break, this wine, the information that they provided online, I appreciate because it's a little more interesting and a little more specific than we normally see.
Particularly from a French blend. A lot of times, yes. It's, you know, they talk about the family, they talk about the vineyard and how they make the wine, but they don't give you a lot of insight into the actual wine.
That's right. That's right.
Is this oaked?
Well, that's one thing we'll talk about. Yes, there is oak involved. However, it is judiciously used. Let's just say that.
Allegedly.
Yes. I will tell you right now what it is. The Grenache, just the Grenache component of the wine, it's 6 months in stainless steel, but also oak foudres.
What's that mean?
Oak fouda? Oak fouda is a massive oak vat. So, you know, a barrel is a barrel size. Think of something, you know, you've been to a winery. Remember, Klein, those massive vats?
Yeah.
Imagine that was an oak barrel.
Oh, but only the Grenache.
Yes. Hmm. And they use that, folks, to oxygenate the wine.
To
introduce oxygen, they're going to oxygenate the wine.
Oxygenate the wine. Yes. Damn it.
There's not many words that you can't.
I think I was almost saying it. It was pissing me off.
Oxygenate.
There we go. Where was I going wrong? I don't know.
Not continuing with the Hooked on Phonics tape that mom and dad bought.
But anyway, but
they still have them.
Yes, that's right. But the Foudot, which is the Foudot, it is actually a German word, but it doesn't impart necessarily a lot of oakiness to it, if any. So
there's not as much contact.
Exactly.
With the surface. Mm-hmm. With a barrel, there's much more contact per
that's
the volume.
Good point. Yes. Yeah.
Where with a big vat. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a lot of oak, but there's a lot more wine. Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they oaking the rest of it?
Well, the Syrah is 6 months on French oak.
So. Oh,
yes.
In a barrel.
In a barrel, what? Yes. Yeah, so the Syrah is treated differently.
So I'm getting a feeling, and I'm very nervous now, that this winemaker knows what they're doing.
They might. They might.
Interesting.
I feel like we've been in situations like this, though, where if you're like, wow, that's like really interesting. And then you actually drink it and it is not interesting.
Yeah.
When
was the last time we were together? I think that would have been the last time that happened.
Well, in fairness, though, it wasn't that those wines weren't interesting. They were interesting in the way a car crash is interesting.
So a phrase I don't use, but that Rob uses that
Look
is
at all
appropriate.
The blood. Yes.
A phrase I do not use, but a phrase that Rob uses that's appropriate for some of the wine making intelligence, using air quotes we've had, would be slapdick.
Well, it is slapdick. But
I don't ever use that phrase, but that's
you just did.
What we've had.
Well, in fairness, though, slapdick are people like Fry Brothers who are supposedly trying. But do you think Love Noir is fucking trying? I mean, now Deloche was a little bit slapdick with the oak, but
that's such a good question. Do you think that they're really proud of what they're making, or do you think that they're like, we made this and it's going to make some money?
I think Deloche is proud. It's just that they let their brother Fredo make that particular.
I think Deloche has got that particular vintage wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Yes, they got it wrong.
I'm not dying to try them again, but I would give them another opportunity.
Yeah, but that's a lot of money for their other stuff. So if they oak the cheap shit, what the hell are they doing to the expensive shit? So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the Chateau Pesquis Les Talas Rouge from Vantoux.
Côte de Rhône.
Well, Rhône Valley. Now we're going to go over to the Triple B because she has some facts and figures about this wine and some reviews to read. And James did not review this wine. I did not, no. I felt this wine was not up to my normal standard of Chilean wine. And they wouldn't give me a sample to taste it.
Notes.
Don't interrupt me. That's rude.
So I had remarked off air that the winemaker notes are like my dream wine. But then how they match it is not my dream. And it just makes me nervous. I feel like it's always best to have very, very low expectations.
What in the fuck? I just read that. What the fuck is that?
So winemaker notes. Deep ruby color.
Check.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
Intense nose with spicy notes, especially black pepper and red berries. This very balanced wine offers very round tannins and fresh berries. Fresh berry aromas with some floral and spicy flavors. That's like dream wine category description, right? However, the next part says very easy to match with simple dishes such as pizzas, kebabs, charcuterie,
okay,
vegetable pies.
Vegetable pies? What, like a pumpkin pie?
I thought maybe like a pot pie with no chicken. I don't know. A green bean pie?
Maybe it's like
I used to make a leeks dish that I would cover with puff pastry. That's the closest thing I can think of to a vegetable pie.
Carrot cake.
Or salads.
Ugh. Salads?
To more ambitious cuisine, like terrines, poultry, parentheses, guinea fowl, turkey, roasted or grilled meats.
Or just kind of like...
food that exists other than seafood.
Yeah, which seafood and dessert is really all that's missing.
Sea bass.
No sea bass.
Chilean sea bass.
You shall not have this with sea bass.
Because there's a time when we would do pairings and you'd always say, you know what would be good with this? Chilean sea bass.
No, everything you said that. No razor clams.
I love good razor clams.
Well, you can't have that with this wine.
Damn it.
So the first review is Jeb Dunnick.
He is handsome.
He gave it a 94. Longtime readers will know that I love this cuvée, which is year in, year out, one of the great value buys out there. The 2017 is even better than the 2016 and ranks with the finest vintages I've tasted, matching the stunning 2010.
Hmm.
So how much was this?
Well, I paid $13.99.
But now it's $16.
Yes. But he didn't talk about the wine. He just said he liked it a lot.
I thought I bought this.
No, I did.
Where?
I think I bought this.
I bought this.
Why? How do you know?
Because I know, because the one you bought had a bad cork. This was bought by me.
That's the one I replaced.
No.
I bought it
No, you took yours home, dummy.
Mm.
Good God.
Okay. We both bought it.
Well, I know we both bought it, but I had it here. Okay, go ahead.
The next review is from Robert Parker.
Boys, stop arguing.
Wine Advocate, yes. 93. Showing more intensity and depth than the delicious 2016. The 2017, which was tasted from the tank, which I feel like is such a, like, hoity-toity. Like, I tasted this one from the tank.
That's very popular.
Isn't it?
Scott, have you ever tasted wine from the tank?
Just the toilet bowl tank. Does that count?
Week in, week out. How we?
We
you
have.
Know, I was doing my weekend community service.
Yeah.
It's a blend, and it's
my roommate had, you know, hit some skills.
Crushed stone notes accent dried spices and raspberries on the nose. Crushed stone notes, huh? While the medium to full-bodied palate delivers rich, deep fruit flavors, plenty of concentration, and an impressive velvety finish.
Interesting. So a 94 and a 93.
I love that that Parker did that. Tasted from the tank. That's such a...
Well, we didn't. Oh, we tasted from Klein's tanks.
Oh, I've had that tasted from the tank.
No, his name was Smith. And, you know, it's a funny thing they do in the weekend duties. You know what they use for oaking? Never mind. Never mind. I mentioned duties.
Waka, waka, waka. Jesus Christ.
And
okay.
It, you know, it may not be oaky, but it's a little nutty.
So I have another question. For the addition of the 4% Cinsault and the 2% Mouvedre.
Yes.
Why?
Twinkle.
You think it's going to bring in what?
The Mouvedre might bring a little tannin, but at 2%, I think, if anything, what they'll have. So say when they're doing a blend like this, even in like Châteauneuf, they will have in front of the winemaker might have 8 different full varietal pitchers. Yeah. And then they stand there and they blend them as to percentages. So when he's pouring in and he'll taste it and go, that needs a little bit of, just like I would say it needs a little more garlic powder or pepper or, you know, anything. He'll say, and that's how that gets to that point. So it's actually at a table mixing the wine like a kid would sort of at a you know, a Taco Bell making Mountain Dew, Coke, and orange pop.
And some Dr. Pepper.
Yes, it's just a little more refined than that. Mm. Actually, a good visualization, a good video was on the James May wine program. They were in France, and he actually, with the winemaker, made their own type of wine by doing that with little sections of, here's your Syrah, here's your Mouvedre, here's this, here's that. And they blend it together to create a wine. That's how that happens. So, and that's how that went. They felt that was the best representation of the grapes that they had that vintage. So,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It is cool.
Now, this winery, the vineyards, actually, elevation 300 meters. Mm. So, how's that going for it? Age of vines 20 to 50 year old. And it's red clay, gravel, and limestone soil. So, in the glass. That's what you've been waiting for. In the glass.
I've been waiting for it.
That you have.
I'm thirsty.
You are. As we've alluded to, deep ruby red. No translucence, really. Slight watery edge, but nothing bad. It actually looks very lovely in the glass. And we're drinking tonight out of Riedel's Old World Syrah glasses.
That's an interesting choice.
That's what you should drink this out of. The nose... I noticed the minerality. However, it is showing a bit of a floral. Mm. Violets. Light.
It does have that black pepper.
Yes, it does.
It really does. What I think Parker mentioned, right? Is that correct? No, the winery and the wine tasting notes.
Yes.
Mentioned it. And the berry is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really quite pretty nose.
It's a pretty nose. That is fair.
It's a pretty nose.
It is. You know it's not pretty? Bo.
From the...
But Bo's a handsome lad.
From the winemaker's notes, when it said intense nose, I was thinking, in my mind, I was a little bit more towards like a cab nose, like that deepness of it. So, and it's not that. It is a very pretty nose, but I wouldn't say intense. I was expecting something different.
That might have been lost in translation.
In pretty, you also, I would assume, to mansplain for you, Scott... You're meaning slightly subtle.
Well,
because something that's bold and just over the top is not going to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
This wine has a slightly delicateness to it on the nose.
Yeah,
it has a way, this nose does, of painting a picture.
Mm. Oh.
It gives you a visual.
It gives you a visual.
Of something that's dainty, delicate, and beautiful. Hence, it's a pretty nose.
Okay. There you go, folks. Mm-hmm. Slightly perfumey. It's a nice
nose. It really is.
Not overpowering. You do need to draw on it to really get that out of it, but it's nice.
Slightly perfumey. There's berry, the black pepper, but that floral, it's a sweet floral nose. It's dandy.
It's time to go in.
It's pretty.
Okay.
This is a nose... that you could just keep going back to for every taste.
Oh. Whew. Mm. Oh. We need to have, right now we're playing Mo Soul on Dish Network, but we need to have Brick House playing on that for this wine, because this thing is oof. It's very flavorful. lovely.
It is also definitely French.
It is. Yes, I couldn't imagine you would pin it any place else. And you probably could also say somewhere in the Rhone. You're not going to necessarily get Ventoux, but you're going to get somewhere down there. You're going to think, though, it's a little more elevated than a standard Côte du Rhône or a Côte du Rhône Village. It's better than that. More interesting than that, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah. This is one of the more... I wouldn't call it fruit-forward, but for a French Côte du Rhône, Ventoux, the fruit really expresses strongly. Strawberry?
I thought I smelled that on the nose.
You know, maybe that was what I was getting for the sweetness of the floral.
I'm so glad you said that because, yeah, there is like a little bit of a sweet line through that.
Yeah, I see the strawberry. Kind of, it's just like the outer shell of the wine. Just remind, but
yeah, it's not. It doesn't make it sweet, but I know what you mean.
But
yeah.
It is a ripe strawberry, a juicy strawberry. Yep. Crushed berries, though, are streaking through there with the minerality all through the mid palate, and it's wonderfully tannic. And you can taste those gravelly soils and limestone because the chalkiness is the way it finishes.
The other thing about the finish that I really like is all those fruits hang on.
Yeah.
And then it turns into savory fruit in the finish.
Oh, yes.
There's just like a transition into savory fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Prune? Yes.
Prune-esque.
It's just wonderful.
Because it almost, it's not sweet naturally, but it has a deliciousness that comes from just that core of fruit that is carrying through. And it does finish up with just a little bit of prune.
Tannic. Maybe even a little more tannic than you'd expect from a French wine.
Bracingly tannic, yes.
I will tell you, whenever you're maybe like 10 or 12 years old and you're around adults drinking wine, this is the wine taste that I thought that they were having. You know, like, it just to me is... like the elegance of drinking a wine in a glass. Like that experience is this wine. It's very, very nice.
Yeah, it is. It does. Because
it tastes like you're not going to like this if you're 22. You're not going to like it. You're not going to like it if you don't like red wine. You're not going to like it if you don't like French wine. But if you do like those things, this is a very nice drink.
Yes, if you drink Stella Rosa, you probably won't like...
But for
the Chateau Pesky.
For the younger members of our audience, we don't mean to age shame you. It's just, this is not, if you're new to drinking wine, this isn't the first bottle you're going to try and go, oh, this is my favorite wine.
Yes, but for the younger listeners in the audience, life only goes downhill. So you're going to get older and older, and I'm just messing with you. I got a dirty look from Triple B. I'm just messing with you. You mature and you age like a fine wine. Just like... what's that Italian wine that you like so much, Scott?
Barolo.
No. The $9.99 one.
What are you talking about?
Oh, by Banfi. Oh, my God. It was on the show that you swore would age, and then it turned into shit.
You said it would age, too.
Oh, did I? What is that?
Yes, you did.
What was that? Go to Walmart, you'll find it.
No, you don't find it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's more exclusive. What was that called? It's not up there. This didn't exist then.
It was
that predated us actually, you know, putting things up there. I don't remember what it was called, but I think all of our listeners are like, hey, it's that.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, by Banfi. What the hell is that called? It's basically the contemporary of Gentine. Not as good as Gentine, but it's the contemporary of Gentine or Montantico or any of those Vidianos. Yeah.
The other thing that's a little, I don't want to say unusual.
Col di Sasso.
Yeah, Col di Sasso.
Yes. Such a lovely wine, though. I mean, am I surprised? No. Because Jeb has good hair.
He does have good hair.
But it does require a fan of French wine, but... With that, though, it's elegant. So it's not one of these rustic things that we've had that we know that, you know, some people might think is turpentine. I don't think that that's the case with this wine. This wine has a little bit of uptown to it. It's not jazz, but I think it's got the right balance of uptown with classic French notes. I really do.
And I don't think this is on the French scale. You know, this isn't the most minerality-driven wine we've ever done.
It's just enough. It's just enough.
If anything, it's just a little light on the minerality.
I think so, but it's a compliment. It's not the focal point of the wine, but it's a compliment. 14% alcohol. I thought it might be higher than that, but it's yeah. Mm.
It's a little on the heavier side for French wine in terms of the body.
But not
this is Grenache and a Syrah.
But not down there. Not those grapes.
Not that. But it's also Grenache and Syrah. Those are bigger bodied grapes, period. Yeah.
But would you say this is full bodied?
It's headed that way.
Yeah, headed that way. I wouldn't necessarily put the flag on it as a full bodied wine, but it certainly has enough.
It's headed that way.
Is overrated. I mean, body is important, but it's the overall quality of the wine, all the components, how they come together.
I think that's fair, but at the same time, you don't want to have a light-bodied cab. Well, that's sure. not what you're drinking
well,
for.
I
to me, this is not that much fuller body than some Pinots we've had. I would say it's medium-ish, but I don't know that it's really on its way to full-bodied.
The body, I think, is similar, yes. Mouthfeel.
So here's the other thing that stands out about this one to me.
Mm-hmm.
The astringency. This is dry.
Yes.
This is dry.
Yes. Yep.
Like.
Yeah, it is.
Dry. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I think those some Pinot drinkers would get down with it a little bit. It does have the mouthfeel of a slightly bigger Pinot, a bigger Pinot. But Pinots aren't necessarily, we call them, they're lighter bodied wine, but are they?
Yes.
Mostly.
No.
They are.
No. You would say Mary Edwards is a light-bodied wine? That's a full-bodied wine.
So here is a question for you.
Mm.
What would you pair this with food-wise?
Pizza.
Yeah.
Salad.
Vegetable pies. No, I would actually...
Actually, my leek...
Beef bourguignon.
My leek puff pastry dish would be fantastic with this one.
Short ribs with the red wine reduction. That fattiness of the short rib, I think, would be glorious with this wine. Remember that I had a dish at, what is that? Martini's. It was the short rib reduction on,
was it on
grits?
On
polenta, yes. A cheesy polenta.
It was their spin on polenta. It was a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that would be very, very nice.
It was like this chunky polenta. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, it's very nice.
It was more like grits. You're right.
Yeah,
but they called it something polenta.
It was a cheesy polenta. It basically tasted like cheesy grits, which I love. But
it's not tastes
like. Yeah, polenta. Yeah.
I was just thinking. I was trying to imagine in my mind what I would pair it with, and we had a really nice dinner out last night.
Yeah.
And I had a filet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much it would go with the Brussels sprouts. Bacon, but I think if it had been we saw some other people got asparagus with like shaved Parmesan on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that would be a nice.
But I think this wine has enough behind it for my bone and ribeye. It does.
You know, we mocked a little bit the tasting notes of all the different food they said they'd pair this with.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. What couldn't you serve this with?
Sea bass. Chilean sea bass.
But what if it was salt cured sea bass?
Does that exist?
Oh yeah. Couldn't cook any fish by the salt curing method.
I think a nice point to this and like a little feather in its cap is that you could, because especially at this price point, you could enjoy it with pizza or you could enjoy it with a fancier dinner.
I'd want to upscale pizza. I'd want to go to like Frank's and get his thin crust stuff or like Tyler's wood fired or
I don't know though. I mean, because the flavor profile for me, it depends on what's on the pizza, I guess, but I don't know. I think make
if
that
you had
connection.
Like a gourmet flatbread ish pizza, I think that would
about.
Be, yeah, I think that would be
thin
fine.
Thin crust, wood fired.
You're not getting like a deep dish pepperoni covered pizza, which it actually might be fine.
What about a Little Caesars?
Yeah, I don't think they meant Little Caesars
pizza,
or
pizza.
Domino's. Mm-hmm.
Urban Farmer, Scott, frozen pizzas, Urban Farmers at Kroger's.
Yes.
Fan fucking tastic. They do a cauliflower crust. They also do a sweet potato crust, but
did the cauliflower crust from Aldi's recently. Yeah. It's freaking fantastic.
It's so good.
That's fantastic.
It's well, so good. The Urban Farmers is right there with that, maybe better. And on sale, it's 5.5.
Okay. I think the Aldi's is $5.99.
Yeah. $6.99.
There was this the Aldi's one, are good though. Henry and I split it Thursday or Friday. It's a veggie crust. Oh. I looked twice because I did not believe it was gluten free.
That's funny.
It was. I looked at the ingredients. I'm like, okay, this is not gluten. This is not. It was really good.
And they do one that's like a chicken Italian sausage. It's on a sweet potato crust. And
so they're mixing up the crust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All gluten free, all lower carb, you know. And
it had a kick to it.
Yeah. The sausage was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Really
very
good.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What's it called? Urban Farmer?
Urban mm-hmm. Farmer.
Is it a... Did you say Kroger's? Giant Eagle?
Kroger's. We shop 95% of the time at Kroger.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they have it at other places.
It really, Scott, I mean, as a, quite frankly, an upscale-ish tasty, you know, if you did that sweet potato chicken one, that would be a great little appetizer thing for a nice night.
Mm-hmm.
You make one of those, cut it up. People could treat it like a flatbread. It's that good.
Right on.
Crackerish crust. Really good.
I put... Every time we do a click list, I try to get like 10 of them because they only have, you know, maybe 5 in the store. But I always put like 10 on the list to, just to see what we get out of it.
And they're frozen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Really, really
18
nice.
To, or 15 to 18 minutes at 4:25, I think. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yep.
Very good. So, well, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back with the most unique potpourri here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we're going to do an experiment. Last night, Becky and I went to Hyde Park in Columbus. It's a high-end steakhouse, and had a lovely meal, bone
upscale,
and ribeye.
Very upscale.
Oh, yes. Bone and ribeye for me, of course. Beef carpaccio, of course. Numancia Termes, lovely. But for dessert, I drink my dessert. I had a glass of Rodney Strong's, is it the gentleman's port?
A gentleman's.
A gentleman's port, folks. A gentleman's port.
You flipped, so we're looking at the dessert menu. Rob flips it over and he's like, oh.
Oh.
And I was wondering.
I'm a gentleman and I like port, so I should have that. And so I did, and quite frankly, it was lovely. So tonight.
So when you ordered
yes,
a gentleman's port, did yes. they snicker?
No, he goes.
Did they laugh? Did he smirk?
He said, I had already had that ready for you. You're a gentleman. He looked at me and just said, yes. But. Tonight,
so bougie.
We have a friend of
so
ours.
So bougie.
He's got. We have a friend of ours that's going to help us find a great wine, and we've talked about him before. He's Jeff on wine.com. So Scott,
Jeff the wine expert.
Yes, yeah. Jeff apparently works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Jeff is currently in the chat with Scott. He's ready to go, and so we're going to ask Jeff if they can find us a great wine specifically. Rodney Strong's A Gentleman's Port. Then when we go from there, we're going to test Jeff to see if he actually has any Chilean wines that we like in stock. Apatagua, perhaps. Hell, Santa fucking Carolina. Do you have that, Jeff? We're going to find out what Jeff knows. We're going to try to determine whether or not he's a robot or not tonight here on the Wine Vault. So, Scott, engage with Jeff. Now, I want you to talk to the people. Tell people, don't be shy with the microphone. What are you currently doing
Jeff's back. I lost him for a second.
Yes, you better use a pseudonym because if he knows who you are, he will just disconnect.
That's why I'm signing out.
Okay.
I don't get blackballed. I don't. We buy a lot of wine from wine.com.
That's why you would not get blackballed.
That's true.
Well, I don't know. It can be pretty abusive. Although we have. I think we've cursed Jeff out before.
No, not that he knows.
Well, don't mind if I told him to F off and leave us alone. Could bother me.
You didn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just a shock valued man. Now.
So, can I help you find a great wine? Why, yes, I would love you to help.
Start off with that. Say that to Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Why, yes. I would love for you to help.
Right now, his transistors and his resistors are like.
Well, no, he's like, let me transfer you to this customer service specialist mm-hmm. that's actually a person.
You're in a 4-hour queue.
Yeah.
Try to cancel your cable. You understand that.
Mm-hmm. Bo, get down. Bo wants to see what Scott's doing.
He's like, let me see your messaging with Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Who's Jeff?
Is he a doodle?
Yes. Is he a Labrador or a poodle? What the heck? Because I'm the best of worst both worlds. Or the worst of both worlds.
Now we've got KDB.
Okay. Jeff transferred you over to somebody. So first of all, we know that Jeff is a robot. So that's the first thing we know. He transferred you to Katie?
KDB, the wine specialist.
Okay.
Thank you for reaching out due to high volumes. Response to the chats may be delayed. We apologize for the inconvenience. We'll be with you as soon as possible. We're going to keep your spot in the queue. Please make sure you check back every 15 minutes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There we
KDB
go, folks.
Pops up. She said, hi there. Happy to help.
So, Jeff, or Katie now. We're on to Katie. We want to find a gentleman's port, Rodney Strong. Or which do you want to do? The Chilean Pinots? Where the fuck? Where's Alpatagua? When can we expect Alpatagua? We want to know this. Find out. Katie, I already know what a great wine is. Douglas told me.
I asked her where my friend Jeff went.
Did you?
I did. We'll see what she said.
Did you say that?
I did. I said, Katie, where did my friend Jeff go? Oh my God. She's typing. Jeff is our lovely greeter.
Did she say that?
However.
Oh, my God.
I have more substantial answers than he can give. That is absolutely fantastic.
That might be suggestive that Jeff is a robot. Okay.
Do you remember when you didn't believe me that Jeff was a bot?
I still don't. I think he's a real
That
person.
Being said, there is a real Jeff here, and he is lovely.
Oh, see? There we go. God.
I said, that is absolutely fantastic.
She's probably a little concerned that she's having this most conversation with you.
So, talk to me. How do I want to harass? I mean, what do I want to talk to Katie B about?
Katie, I love Chilean Pinot Noirs.
No.
You might know me.
I think you should ask her.
Okay.
I think you should say first.
First?
I had this gentleman's port last night, and I can't find it on the website.
Yes. Katie, you might know me better by my name, Stop. The Prince of Pinot. No. Yes, ask her about a gentleman's port.
What do you want me to ask specifically?
Do you have Rodney Strong, a gentleman's port?
I
can't find it on the website. Why?
Why? Why can't we find it? Tell me.
What if she's like, there's another layer to wine.com? Like, you all are in commonpeoplewine.com, but we'll usher you into the diamondwine.com. Oh, sorry.
As you whack the mic with your hand. Scott's so nervous. Scott, you've talked to them on the phone before.
Oh, yeah. I have connections.
No, you don't. You just talk to them on the phone.
I got free shit.
You got free shit.
Yeah.
I got a bottle of Julia James Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. It was terrible.
Yes.
Wasn't that a congratulations on becoming a doctor?
Yes. For somebody. Yes. Probably a chiropractor.
So I said, can you help us find Rodney Strong's A Gentleman's Port? Yeah. She said, let me see I can find that on our site.
Well, I could type it in.
We've already typed it in. No, it's not there because we did that earlier. Mm-hmm. By the way, which it's a vintage port and it's less than $30 for a vintage port. That's not a bad price.
Well, a couple years ago it was. I can't even find it on their website, Rodney Strong's website.
They've got it. It's just not in stock available. She said, which state are you shipping to? Say Ohio. Puerto Rico?
Say Ohio, but if we need to ship it to another state, we'll just find somebody in a different state.
What state do you want me to be in, Katie? Where are you?
Right now I'm in a depressed state because of the COVID. Ugh.
And RBG.
My state of mind, you know.
Aren't we all?
Did you answer her?
She's slow to on the uptake.
What state are you in? That's an interesting thing I've not thought about, especially...
Shipping's an issue.
Did you come here often?
Shipping's an issue. Some of the California wineries will not ship to Ohio. Ravenswood will not ship to Ohio.
Really?
Really? Hmm.
Direct.
What was that, Rob?
Direct. I have cheese in my mouth. Hmm. I'm just a non-combatant here.
Mm-hmm. You know, God bless Katie B.
Yes.
She quickly came to the fact that she's not seeing that we're carrying, but they've carried it in the past. As we know, there were two vintages that were available but aren't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She suggested trying winesearcher.com. They're a good resource for locating vendors that carry specific wines, but keep in mind the information there isn't always accurate or up to date.
So she
threw a bone. She did.
Hmm.
I kind of like that.
That's something. Winesearcher.com. Yes, that's always the one that comes with the jank descriptions. I am familiar with their work. Did she suggest Wine Library? What about Gary Vaynerchuk?
What about Amazon?
You know, have we ever bought wine from Amazon? I don't know. Do they sell wine?
The only place...
I know they deliver beer and
I was going to say, I think they do deliver some stuff. Vivino has Rodney Strong, a true gentleman's port, for $45.
What? Who is that?
Vivino.
Well, Vivino. I mean, Vivino. That might not be up to date. I think that's probably the accurate price currently, which is still inexpensive for a good vintage-ish character port. It's the same price as Inkgrate, which I know I can get. So then you're like, do you want to get the one-off or do you want to get the OG? Although that the gentleman's port was really, really good.
So they used to have it on wine.com, but it says they don't have it anymore. I will be really interested if we go somewhere like Total Wine and they see what they have.
I'm doubting that.
I don't think that
vintage port.
I doubt that they make it every year either. So
oh,
I mean,
really?
No, yeah.
So she's a, well, it's, you know, I said, Katie, what do you know about Chilean Pinots? I told her we're going to change gears.
Did you?
Change of dreams. She said she loves them. She is also, I'm a big fan of Patagonia Pinots, but they're a bit harder to come by. Happy to recommend a couple for you.
Wow.
Let's see what she's got.
Wow.
Yeah, she's on the website searching Chilean wines as we speak.
Oh shit, we don't have any.
She responded right away, and then now there's a gap in the chat.
He's like Monte, no, Apatot, no, Santa Ca, no.
She's typing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wine in the sack, I think now is more expensive. Have you ever had La Playa? It's lovely. La Playa means the beach, I think.
Jesus. Kay's still typing. Apparently one finger at a time. She's typing with her pinky.
She's like, what do I say? You know.
Yeah. A damn.
She's trying to do her like Google research and look on the website. And
you know,
E key is sticking.
If you look on winesearcher.com again, you might find.
Does Holly's company carry Rodney Strong?
Heidelberg?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, they do.
I can ask her tomorrow about it.
That would be lovely. Mm-hmm.
No Patagonian Pinots, but here are a few from Chile. There's some good bargain wine coming out of there right now. She's right.
Yeah,
there
That's
is
impressive.
But they what don't if have she any was of like, that.
Have you ever heard of the Wine Vault?
Yeah. I've heard these people on the Wine Vault talk about all sorts of things. Scott's going to drop that. Do you know I'm on a podcast? That's always typed, really. Do you know me? I'm on a podcast. No, I'm not Rob the Wine Guy, no. I'm not the Triple B. I'm not the Superstar, no. The Australian-Russian. He was on one time, damn it, and that's never aired. No, I'm the unlicensed. You don't know me. Damn it. Do you know who I am? So what is she saying right now? What did she actually point out as good?
She hasn't yet.
Oh, because she can't find them. Jesus. I love Patagonian Pinot. Oh, we don't have any. Oh, okay. What else is good that we can't buy from you?
Yeah, seriously.
I'm interested to know this. No. I had this one wine that was really great. Can I get? No. I can't. I don't have that. No. Just tell her we have some Chilean wine we'll sell back to them for 10 times the price.
Our side hustle is going to be.
I have a bottle of Apatagua Cabernet. I will sell it to you for $75. Or I'll trade it for 2 Duckhorn Cabernets.
So here's a fun game.
What?
Yes.
That's never a good start with you. But
Apatagua is out of stock.
It is.
It's done. Mm-hmm. There's fires that damage their stock irreparably for the near future.
Okay.
You can get your hands on 2 bottles.
Okay.
What would you pay?
What would I pay, or what would Triple B pay?
What would you pay for your lovely wife to have these 2 bottles of Apatagua?
$26 a bottle. Not a penny more.
He's put $26 on the price of your love.
It's such an arbitrary number, too. 26. It's an annoying number, isn't it? It bothers you.
Yeah, it was annoying.
That's why I picked that number.
I think you need to have serious discussions about his understanding of what it means to be alive.
I was going to say 40.
At least, bottle?
At least. If you could never get it again, essentially, and you could put your hands on a bottle or two, would you pay $40? Hell yeah.
I'm not saying I would buy a case at 40, but I would buy a bottle or two.
But
at
you
40.
Could buy more
because you knew
love
it was going
to
be the because you knew no because you knew it was going to be the last time you could have it. It's a special wine.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't give a shit that it's
you've
$13.
Only given it 88, Scott. You don't even like it.
Oh, stop it.
That's true. You're an Apatagua hater. I am the fan.
What was the other one we had? Garage.
Garage. Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
What would you put on that one?
That one,
mm-hmm.
$50.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
So you're saying Garage is better than Apatagua?
Yeah.
It might be.
It is. Scott, it really is. You haven't had.
I haven't.
Well, no one in the world has because it's unavailable.
Well, yes.
Becky said that it might be better than.
Yeah.
And see, she's unbiased, like you. You know, this is much fun. KDB is not coming up with any examples. Should I text her that
she's like trying to enjoy the Emmys on TV and instead
she's just ducked out. She's like, fuck, they've got us. Have you ever had Josh Sellers Pinot? Huh? It's almost like Chilean. Have you ever had?
Why did she say Patagonian?
Because I don't know.
Because she read the same wine enthusiast article that we did 2 years ago about Patagonian.
Have you ever had Deloche Heritage Reserve Pinot Noir? It's delicious.
Jeez.
Love Noir. We have. Have you ever had Apothic Inferno? It's really smooth. They age
really
it
bummed.
In bourbon barrels. It's hard to find, though.
I'm really bummed that they just flipped us over to Jeff away from Jeff because I feel like Jeff could have been more helpful.
He's real. He's there all the time at 4 in the morning.
Bummer.
Jeff's there.
I ask her what she thinks of Colchagua Valley. Let's see what she comes up with.
She thinks, we don't have any of that. Right now she's Googling, what is Colchagua Valley?
I think if you know Chilean Pinot, you know Colchagua Valley.
Who says she knows Chilean Pinot?
Easy.
Well, do you think that Robert Parker's next person is a call-in, you know, person on wine.com? Hmm. I don't think so. You know, she's one of those people that says, I aspire to be on the wine vault.
Definitely a great cab spot. Bit warmer. An up-and-coming cab region for sure.
Oh.
Oh.
Interesting.
Cab?
Well, I mean, it does everything nicely. I mean, but
I don't think the cabs are getting huge scores, though.
Well, no, there's a Pinot.
Pinots are getting big scores.
Like what one?
You just said that Parker gave it 98 for the year.
That was Chile as a whole, all wines. He just lumps everything together and it was a 96. But try again.
Lumps it all together?
Yes. He does not break down
Chile. That's a great song.
There's no song with lump it all together. Oh, lump.
Lump's a great song.
Okay. Well, folks, I think we found that Katie is useless.
I don't think this was as much fun as we thought it would be.
Well, no. Because
it would be better on like a Tuesday during the day.
Well, they don't have anything to find. Have you ever had anything from Begonia? Have you? No.
It's a bummer.
What do you think about southeastern Australian wines for under $4.99? Have you ever had Lindeman's Bin 99 Pinot Noir? Have you had it?
I'm like having PTSD flashbacks of that. So if you could just stop naming bad wines,
have you ever had that?
Would be great. It would be great.
It's aged in oak. You know that because you can taste it. You can feel it. You just rub it all over your face and get splinters on your face from the wine.
Kitty B loves Appletago.
Does she?
I used to.
Maybe
she used to sell it.
Bought it all.
She used to sell it on wine.com, but they don't have it anymore. So, folks, we're going to take a break as Scott tries to then be inappropriate with Katie here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. As Scott inappropriately flirts with Katie on wine.com.
That's not true.
He's going to send her his Scott Baio picture from 1974 when he was 80. So, yeah, Scott's over there. Did you buy all the Apatagua, Katie? Maybe. It's pathetic. It's like Henry texting with his girlfriends. It's embarrassing. For shame. Squirrel. For shame.
You're embarrassing.
Get thee to a nunnery, sir. Well, no, you shouldn't be at a nunnery, should you? Anyway, be like a rooster in the hen house. So
what? That is so inappropriate that you would make
you
that reference.
You are a
of
man of no integrity.
Sexual harassment.
Well, you are. You
I'm
are
not the one
walking
who made that reference.
Sexual harassment. We're going to have sexual harassment training here on the Wine Vault.
You don't even know how to say it. Harassment.
Well, you've been told to. Sir, it's harassment. Okay. You've been in those courses many, many times,
oh,
obviously.
It's annual training for the federal government.
It's most people have it every 5 years. Scott gets it every year. No, so
let's do the wine.
We are going to do the Chateau Pisquet Les Terres Rouges. A 94 from Jeb, who is very handsome, and a 93 nice from Parker, whose hair flops in the wind. We're going to go over to the Triple B. But Jeb did used to work for Robert.
Allegedly. Some might say that Robert worked for Jeb.
Would you say that Robert was his mentor?
I don't think they ever met. So, Triple B, what are your thoughts? Does this wine have any areas of improvement, perhaps?
Easy. Well, easy, Hot
that's
Rod.
A question.
That's such a great question.
She coined the phrase, man. She's a trendsetter. Trailblazer. Hmm. Used to.
I don't think.
Dirty old man.
I don't think that was. Phrase being coined.
I'd say she did.
Okay.
Two
I do have
coins
an area of
in a fountain. Come on, sing with me.
Nobody knows that song. What do you think over there?
So So I'm going to talk through my review because I'm not for sure my numerical score. It is decidedly French.
Yes.
You know it from a mile away.
Yes. And it says France on the label, too.
That's helpful.
Oh, thank you, Rob.
Just saying.
But you would, in a taste testing, you would, a blind taste testing, you would know.
Yes.
That this is French, is what I
mean. Would think so.
I feel like now that we've started this series, everything I drink, I'm like, how would I be able to identify this as Sonoma? How would I be able to identify this as Spanish?
Well, whatever. Point of order, we have two more wines that are very similar in score, style, and everything to this one.
Huh?
I know.
You didn't want to do a
Grenache Syrah blend? We've got two more Grenache Syrah blends?
Well, they have Grenache, and then they have some Syrah, yes.
Okay.
Bastides Malfours and whatever you bought. The thing with the bird on the front.
Yeah, I don't think the Rhone.
Oh, no, with the bird?
It's a bird.
Okay.
Yes.
So, some things that I love about this are, I think that it, I love the tannin. It's so tannic and it's so dry. And that is just really lovely in this glass. Mm. Really, really enjoy it. I don't, something that I struggle with a little bit, which we've mentioned before, is when the nose doesn't necessarily match what you're drinking. I'm not getting any pepperiness, and it's fine. It's just an observation. It's not peppery when you're tasting it. It's peppery on the nose, but I wish that that was pulled through. And my that's actually not my area of improvement.
Oh.
My area of improvement would be that I would just like for it to be a little bit fuller bodied. That's a, like a sticking point for me. Well, any comments?
Yeah, I think it's more towards fuller body.
What is?
And for a French wine, that's
more towards fuller body, but it is a medium bodied wine. It's in no way full bodied.
Robert, do you know what really offends me about these Americans wanting our wines to be more full bodied like their Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon?
I just know one thing, Scott.
What do you know, Robert?
Go ahead.
She hasn't given her score yet.
I know.
You know it's coming, though, don't you?
It's not, I'm going to knock it out if it's bad.
So the other thing that I think the reason why I'm struggling to give this a numerical score is because this is not my normal choice in wine. It's not. France is not where I like to drink wine from, which is fine. This is really good.
And I think there was a time where you would just had one sip of this and you'd just push it back and not have any more.
Yeah.
Whether it was the oak. We didn't really talk about this. It was really skillfully oaked, by the way.
It's really, lightly oaked.
It's wonderful.
No, yeah. Everything is in balance.
But, yeah, so, you know, there's a time where, let's be honest, Becky, you wouldn't have. You just had one taste of this, and you'd have curled your nose and said, nah, baby, nah.
But I said, it's a little more uptown.
Let me speak for myself. I think that when we compare this to the body of a Pinot, to me, drinking more Pinot, I feel like got me ready to drink something like this. Mm. It doesn't have the funk in it, like a Pinot funk, but just some of the lighter, more delicate flavors that you appreciate in a Pinot, I feel like you appreciate drinking this French wine. So all of that being said, I'm going to give it an 89. It's very nice. I would recommend it, but I am giving it an 89. Go ahead.
So...
Are you giving Scott Perestroika?
No, I'm giving that to you.
Well, he doesn't know yet. This is a really good representation of what... This is kind of a... You know, you said it's not really jazzy, but in a way, this is a jazzy Rhone.
But it's not jazzy.
It's not jazzy like the way you talk about these Washington red blends being jazz.
Because I hate that.
You kind of like it, though, too. But this it's a love-hate thing for
but
you.
But this just has a little bit of a floral characteristic with good fruit. It just has good fruit.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
It has good fruit from French.
It has this jazzy quality that, you know, when we talk about jazzy American wines, this is a French wine that has kind of a jazzier style, in that it's got this berry, you know, more sweeter fruit that transitions into savory, that it's really kind of unique.
Well, see, Uptown is the nice version of jazzy. Jazzy, Uptown. I like Uptown.
You're so bougie.
No, hey, man,
you're
it's
just,
Uptown.
You're just bougie. It's but just it, this wine is so well balanced.
Yes.
It has a distinct front, center, finish. The drying astringency mm-hmm. of these tannins are fantastic. Yeah. The winemaker said this could be aged 10 years. That's an interesting thought. Rob is pouring the remnants of the decanter up his nose.
Refreshing.
With something.
Strawberry. Berry. It almost has a Zinfandel berry note about
don't
it.
Don't start with
Zinfandel. Easy. I'm just saying. It does. No, easy. Easy. Easy.
Okay.
And then it transitions through the mid palate where it's got nice minerality. I love the body in this. I think, yeah, it's on the verge of full body. It's not there. I'll give you that. But it's French.
Yes.
I'll give an ode to Becky's 89, say that this is 89 to 91, but I'm going 91. Mm. I give this 91 of my points. I love it. I think it's expertly done, and this is something I would buy.
You will buy
year
the show.
Year to year, right?
Yeah, it's in the queue. It's one of those things like, oh, now I know about Chateau Pesquet.
It's also a wine. When we talk about like gifting it, it's not a wine I would gift to anyone, but if I knew someone liked wine, this would be a nice gift.
This is definitely, I don't know that I'd call it a palate stretcher, but this is something that
fair.
You know, mm-hmm. as people, the way you develop your palate is by drinking different things. And this wine has a lot to mm-hmm. offer mm-hmm. for developing mm-hmm. a palate.
I think that's fair.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. It just has these different characteristics, and you know, we in reviewing this wine, the nose is spectacular. It's a nose that I want to have a schnoz full every time I take a mouthful.
And then it's on to me, folks. So,
I'm back up.
No, you're done.
I'm giving it a 92.
No.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going 92.
You can give it a 92.
I'm giving 92.
A 92.
92.
Hey, man. You live that life.
I'm living that life.
Awesome for you.
Because of the nose.
Okay. So on to me. An 89 and a 92. It's almost like it's a range of normally the things we drink. Now, the problem with this wine is that Jeb and Robert got a little excited. 94, 93 are too high for this one.
Yeah,
they are. Because it isn't in the echelon. Because in this price range, we've had some wines that were just stunning. Brica, the one vintage of Brica that we had, was stunning. Quinta de Calavas, that was stunning. This wine isn't stunning, but what it is so well balanced. Mm-hmm. The balance of this wine, everything is in perfect sync with everything. The fruit is lovely. There isn't an aspect of this wine that is bad. Or even average. It's all nicely done.
Yeah.
So it's nice, 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 nice. Now, grand wines, amazing, nice, nice. Or amazing, nice, amazing. This wine is just nice all across the board. Let me finish. You speak too much as it is. So with that, though, but nice, nice, nice is so unusually wonderful because normally we have nice, tastes like an asshole, nice, or tastes like an asshole, tastes like an asshole, tastes like the taint. That happens a lot, too. But nice, 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 that's what this wine is. I'm providing this wine 91
what?
Of my points.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
The balance.
Shut up, oh you.
The balance is spectacular, but
yes.
The other thing about this wine that makes it the upper echelon that it is, whether it's 91, 92, whatever it is, how many different things have they kept in balance?
They've kept everything in balance. But it's multifaceted wine. It could be longer. It could be this. It could be that. But everything within the wine works so nicely that you're like, forget all that. Could it have a 45-second finish? Sure, it could.
Yeah, it doesn't need it.
But it could. I mean, those things, though, is what push it on beyond somewhere 91. Else. And, you know, so balance, everything in tune, that is a 91 to me. It tastes of the region, too. But also, I think it's approachable to more people. Because there's a lot of things like if you go down to the Languedoc, those get a little bit too meaty and just bold, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. This wine has some delicacy, but really some nice round fruit that opens up and can expose somebody that drinks not Stella Rosa, but drinks, you know, just your humdrum Pinots from California, or drinks some humdrum reds, just humdrum reds. They aren't bad. They aren't good. They drink Bogle all the time. You know, they just buy cheap stuff at the grocery, but they don't necessarily buy sweet shit. This is like 3% of the population, but those people, if they tasted this, that this would bend their mind into beautifulness and move them on. Beautifulness. Yeah, whatever. And move them on into the world of wine. It would make them want to drink better and more interesting. That's what's nice about this wine. I think more people would find it appealing than you would give credit to. I think 91 is the top of the mark. I think 92 is too high. But obviously 89, I'm not even going to even acknowledge that.
Why did you give this a top of the mark?
At 91?
My 89.
No, I had 91 written down way before you had 89 out of your mouth. Although it's almost as if I have ESP. Because I knew that you would discount it. Mm-hmm. You would hate on it. You would say...
This is a wine that if we got on wine.com, and I'm sure it's sold out, I would be sad that
it's not sold out.
Okay.
So it might be after this show. It wouldn't be something I'd buy. Well, no, if it came down to... First of all, I like this wine more than I like Tessier. Yes.
That's saying a lot.
Yes, I like this more than Tessier.
Well,
this is a better wine than Tessier.
It's a different wine.
It is a different wine. Tessier was more of a, you know.
The balance of this wine, I can't recall a wine that had as much going on that was it's perfectly balanced.
But I went crazy on Tessier because it was $7.99 there for a while. Right. So, I mean, why wouldn't you?
You went crazy.
If this thing was $7.99,
just went crazy.
I would buy a case of this. Mm. A whole 12-bottle case at $7.99.
Wow. How dare you?
But
you're so extravagant.
Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of wine to buy one thing. But I think it does have a little bit of aging potential. 10 years is crackhead, but I think 3 to 5 years is reasonable to expect.
Yeah,
it's not going to break down. It's not going to necessarily be different or better, but it's still going to be fine.
If the thing about drinking now versus holding it anything more than a couple years, head more towards traditional French. It might lean out a little bit.
It might. And see, if I'm seeing 93, 94, first of all, those are prices where I'm going to collect it. Second of all, those are prices where I'm expecting it to be aged.
Not prices, scores.
Yeah, scores. Very, very ageable. And this can be held for a period of time, but it's not something that I'm going to age. 10 years, it's not going to happen.
I just don't see it aging 10 years. It'd be interesting if you did have a case and you threw a couple back. What would it be in 5?
It's the ageable where you see now through 2024 or something like that. That's what this is.
Yeah.
But it's very, very nice, pretty. But a 92 and a 91 from the wine.
And an 89.
I got an 89, but it also goes in the Hall of Fame.
I'm not upset with that at all.
Okay, good. You tried to stop it. Did your best.
No, sometimes I have to balance out your all scores.
Oh, please.
Oh, Lord.
My gosh. It's ridiculous.
Next thing you know, be promising $5 billion to education.
Yes.
That's not part of the deal.
Or saying we're bullshit for putting Hoogland Harvest Riesling in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame. Or Value Price Hall of Fame.
What do you mean I can't get $5 billion and put it straight in the treasury?
That's true.
Can't get part of that deal from TikTok?
That's true. So, Chateau Pesquis, tip of the cap.
Tip of the cap.
A 92, a 91, and an 89 from Moscow. So.
Just so loud.
I know. It is, comrade. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scotland Licensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu.
Adieu.
And see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.